Who am I?
You are
my wife.
Appropriate for this episode.
Yeah, we watched Borat.
We did. We watched Borat. Well, he did was doing a Borat voice.
I guess so. I feel like maybe any voice he does is a Borat. No, that's not true. But
yeah, we.
Anyways.
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
What's up? It's Dr. Skeleton's Art School. And we've got a movie episode for you today. Oops. We've got the newly minted wife of the wife of the show.
I'm now officially a pod wife.
Now officially the pod wife. And the format today, we watched a movie together and we're going to talk about it. And we kind of had an idea for... We had this concept like years ago where each of us, there's going to be some series about like, I think we called it You'd Hate This.
Uh-huh.
Where one of us would pick a movie that we thought the other would really hate.
Yeah, then, but that we ostensibly liked.
That we ostensibly liked and then like talk about it.
Yeah.
That seemed pretty negative, like a pretty negative concept.
And I seem to remember like we recorded a bit before we watched the movie. Then we drank while we watched the movie, and then we came back and we went wild.
Incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No good.
Probably a bad idea. We're gonna try a more mature way of doing it.
Yes.
And now it's less You'd Hate This and more like I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other may like it too.
Yes. May
but
not.
Maybe they'll hate it.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. It's about here, I'm sharing a movie I love with you.
Yes.
This is important to me. And so what did you choose and why?
I'm already going against the you'd love this or I love this thing, because I wouldn't say that this is one of my favorite movies, but I chose, and I can't say it in French. How do you say it? Les Misérables?
Yeah.
Les Misérables, 2012. Because I really like the musical and I saw the movie around the time it came out.
Oh.
And I wanted to watch the movie again.
I thought you really liked this movie.
I've only seen it once. No.
Well, twice.
Hopefully. Well, yeah, twice. Okay. Now.
You're like, no, I just picked one at random. I hadn't seen this
no,
before.
But I feel like the musical is something that I listened to a lot growing up and that I think is really good. And this is the movie version of it.
Gotcha.
And upon second watch, I do really like the front half of this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the movie. Yeah, that's what we watched.
Wait, so you've seen the stage show?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay. In what iterations? What productions?
I saw it when my sister was in it in high school.
Oh.
The Washington High School production.
Who did she play?
She was in the chorus.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. The chorus.
Yeah.
All right.
So she was, you know, a poor French person. She was probably a person in the tavern.
Gotcha.
I don't think she was a prostitute.
Okay.
I don't think she was in that scene. But anyways, yeah, she was just in the chorus. Anyways, and I also saw the Theater Cedar Rapids production.
Okay.
Which I thought was very good as well.
Nice. Anyone we know in that one? I guess don't say their names, I suppose, but...
Probably.
Okay.
I think, yeah, I should not say their names.
I guess I don't know. I guess it would be public. Yeah, who?
Catherine Blades, I think, was probably... Oh, you don't know her?
No.
She was a few years above us, and she, like, went to Broadway for a while.
Oh,
and then,
nice.
Like, came back, and I don't know. I think she was...
Who was she? Who was she in the...
I bet she was Cosette.
Gotcha. Okay.
Unless she was Eponine. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really remember.
Okay.
But I think, like, something that with the stage play is, like, with the big chorus songs.
Pretty epic.
Yeah, you just feel it.
Mm.
That, like, you don't get as much in the movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I'm going all over the place.
No, I think it's good to... We just finished it.
Like, yeah.
We watched the first half last night, went to bed... And then watched the second half and immediately hit record.
Yeah.
And so we're coming fresh off of it. Yeah. So it's like we're capturing our immediate reactions.
Yeah. What did you think of it? Or did you have any, had you ever seen or heard?
I had not seen it. I had not heard it. To me, I knew it was a musical.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it's a novel, first mm-hmm. and foremost. And we did read parts of that in French class in high school.
Oh, in French?
In French, yes.
Oh.
And
it's a big novel.
What?
Big novel.
Yeah. And I'm curious. I kind of want to read. But yeah, I mean, whatever. I'll say it. I kind of want to read the book. I'm not going to. That would be crazy.
I kind of wanted to. Maybe I'll buy the audiobook.
Like a translation?
Yeah, the translation.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't read it in French. I don't speak French or read French.
Yeah, me either. And so, but yeah, I knew it was a musical. And I guess I knew, quote unquote, that it took place during the French Revolution.
Finding out that's confusing.
And we actually had a hell of a triple feature.
Yeah.
The two of us in this last week. We watched Napoleon 2023, the Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix, Vanessa Kirby production. And obviously not does not take place in the French Revolution. And basically, it is really hard to figure this out. And because, like, you look up online, it's like the French Revolution ended in 1799. And you're like, okay, cool. And then it's like, here's something that's happening in like 1830 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're like, it seems to be fairly revolutionary.
Yeah. We're the French Revolution, they say, from the barricade.
Yeah. And I guess, and I know, like, things seem to go back and forth a bit. Like,
Napoleon became emperor after the French Revolution.
Which, does that count as monarch? As the monarch?
And then after him, there was a king.
Then there was a, okay.
They, like, put kings back in place for some reason.
And then, so, and today, there is not a king. So, at some point,
they did it. They had to do it again.
Napoleon and then the guy after Napoleon, that doesn't count as the revolution. When they switched over to Macron. Presumably, the guy... or person before Macron
was a president.
Was, yeah, they didn't just switch over from kings. But that doesn't count as a revolution, apparently.
Which, the second time they
or
overthrow
just
the
whenever
king?
You, was, at some point, they seem to have settled on a democracy. Is that what's going on? As an elected president?
Yeah.
Presidency over there? At some point, they seem to settle on that.
Yeah.
And so they went from... so maybe there was something between presidency... and monarchy. I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. I don't know what the intermediate step is, but
Emperor.
That doesn't count as revolution, apparently.
What doesn't count as revolution?
The transition between monarchy and democracy. Maybe it was just like maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just like everyone kind of agreed, and because monarchs are pretty good at giving up their power, maybe at that point.
I think it does still count.
But it isn't the French Revolution. Doesn't count as a French,
it's
because
part of
that
the
ended in 1799.
It's part of the French Revolutionary Wars.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
Everyone's been yelling at that one guy for reading Wikipedia online, so I'm doing my part by not even doing that.
Who read Wikipedia?
No, there was, I'm joking, but there was that debate between Norman Finkelstein and that Destiny loser about Palestine.
Oh,
yeah, and Norman Finkelstein is like one of, if not the like preeminent experts, scholars, academics on that issue. And this Destiny loser like skims Wikipedia or whatever.
Oh, I see.
And decided to, I guess, have a debate with him.
Mm.
I like saw a couple clips. They had a 6-hour debate for that Lex Fridman pervert. And I like saw a couple clips of it, and I like immediately like, I don't know, I don't want to know about this dude. Like, he's mm-hmm. like a Twitch streamer.
Oh, weird.
And like the vibes are absolutely rancid
Ooh.
From this guy. Like, he's like the vibe I get right away, it's not even just like I like disagree with all of his politics, which seems like I do, but also like I think he has like a humiliation fetish or something. Like I don't want to even like engage with it. Like that's what I think that's what's going on here. Yeah. Is my take.
Oh no.
I'm not getting into this. Anyway, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about Les Mis. Why is it called Les Mis? Why is it called The Miserables? Is it sort of like that joke that like the aristocrats joke that like at the end of it you go, The Miserables, and you just like point to the guys.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Because
they were...
I think it's about suffering.
Is it about suffering? Here's what it's about.
Okay.
Jean Valjean.
Mm-hmm.
He's major lib. Big time lib. Whatever. He, like... We first see him in jail. Or, like, I guess... Is it slavery, I suppose. Yeah,
the camp.
Yeah. Because he stole a loaf of bread and he like went to jail for 19 years.
Yeah.
And the rest of the movie, he's like, yep, for sure. I deserved that. Like I did a bad thing. That was a sin. And like any time that he's like about to go do something good, it's like, oh man, I'm going to go do something good, but it's, or he's like fighting again. Like he believes in the, he just like goes along with the institutions, whatever. It's like he thinks that anything good he does is in spite of his nature, rather than he is just a good guy and doesn't realize that the world is bad around him.
I think he does. I think initially he gets out and he's like on parole and he tries to like find jobs and nobody will hire him because he's a convict, an ex-convict, because he's on parole. And he gets very frustrated and angry at the world, so much so that he steals silver from the church. And then after that, the guy's like, is really nice to him. And then he kind of has like a crisis of consciousness or whatever.
That he struggles with for the rest of his life.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder, does he see a sin as the initial stealing of a loaf of bread? Or is it more the stealing of the silver? I don't know. But I don't, yeah, never mind. I lost my train of thought.
I really.
But the good that he does is he becomes a business owner. Is that really good?
No, that was, that, I guess that wasn't the good. But we don't even really see that. We just see it.
That he ends up being
mayor slash boss of the factory.
Yeah.
And
maybe in France at that time, like, that is what people believed, that like you're dishonored forever if you go to jail for 19 years or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I was the miserable. Call me one of the miserables watching this movie. Not because I didn't like it, but because of the buzz in the soundbar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a buzz that we've got going on in our soundbar.
Apparently.
I don't like that. You can't hear it?
I heard it today a little bit. But
dang, I'm gonna try to look up.
Are you gonna buy a new soundbar while we're potting?
No, I'm gonna try to look up the Wikipedia article on here that we can go through.
Oh, the plot.
The plot. We can actually talk about it. But okay, I got it. I will. I guess I'll say I really liked. So like going into like I knew it's a musical. It starts and like very quickly I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, hold on. I need to reevaluate. You know, like it made me check my biases like right away.
Mm-hmm.
I was immediately impressed. Like it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great looking movie,
mm-hmm.
especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
And, like right away, Hugh Jackman is really great.
Yeah.
Like the production design and everything, like it looks great. And yeah, Hugh Jackman's really great. And like he looks fucked up.
Yeah.
Like he's super sunken and scraggly
uh-huh.
and intense. Like, okay. His performance is really great. And right off the bat, I'm digging Russell Crowe too.
Right.
And I guess, yeah, let's talk about that too, is that I remember my I knew that Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe and Anne Hathaway were in this movie.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that Anne Hathaway won Best Actress for this. I think I remember that Hugh Jackman was up for Best Actor, didn't know if he won it or not.
She won Best Supporting Actress.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I knew she won an Oscar for her performance in this. And I also knew that Russell Crowe was like laughably bad in this. And it was like the lasting legacy of this movie. Anytime anybody talked about this, was like,
wish they would have picked someone else other than Russell Crowe.
Wow. Boy, Russell Crowe really embarrasses himself in this, like singing on camera.
Uh-huh.
And my take, I guess it's a hot take, is that that's crazy. He does not embarrass himself at all. I think he does a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
He's singing in a different style than like Hugh Jackman is singing very operatically.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a really great job with that.
Yeah.
Like massive vibrato and stuff. Russell Crowe is like kind of doing that, but it's more like a guy who can sing. it's a more like modern style or something. I don't know. More like,
you said something about rock.
Like a rock. Kind of like a rock singer would be doing it. He's not doing the operatic stuff. And it's like, I don't know. It's not like, it didn't like blow me away or anything, but like I buy it 100%. I buy his character. He sounds like a cop doing it.
Yeah.
And you said that like the original recording or like the original like Broadway guy is just like amazing. And that's why everybody is comparing it.
There's like an idea in my head and people's heads of these songs.
Yeah.
That Russell Crowe doesn't quite hit. But watching it now, 12 years later, whatever, he does do a lot better than I remember him.
Okay. And I don't know the original Javert from the Broadway performance or something. And so, like, and I'm sure it's phenomenal.
Not even the original, I feel like, any record.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's the other thing is that, like, probably any time that they do a production of these, of a musical, they'll hire, like, musical theater performers.
Yeah.
Like, stage actors who, like, this is what they do.
Yeah.
And, like.
But not for movie.
And not for the movie. Yeah. It just happens to be the case that Hugh Jackman, like, can do that, mm-hmm. and that Anne Hathaway can do that. We'll get into Anne Hathaway's performance here in just a second. But and that like Russell Crowe's like he is a singer, he has like a rock band or something, but he's not like he's an actor, you know,
right?
First and foremost, or like a screen actor, and like he's a big name, and so you know, like, and you know. So the other movie that we just watched was Wonka.
Yes. Wonka, Les Mis.
Yeah, Napoleon, Wonka, Les Mis, which is like actually a really fitting triple header.
Yeah.
Because obviously French Revolution or asterisk type thing going on with Napoleon and Les Mis. But
Wonka's a musical.
Wonka's a musical. And there's these like nasty innkeepers they're basically the exact same, what's the name of them?
The Thénardiers.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Yeah, who were played by Helena Bonham Carter and Sacha Baron Cohen in this Les Mis.
And it was Olivia Colman and I don't know that other guy.
Yeah.
In Wonka.
But I like that guy. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah.
In Wonka.
He was in Paddington too, right?
That seems right.
He's like a guy in jail.
Kind of guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Wonka's
a very different kind of musical.
Yeah. Where Timothée Chalamet is Willy Wonka. And listen, Timothée Chalamet, friend of the podcast. We love, like, the podcast loves Timothée Chalamet. He's good. He is not.
Does Ben agree with that?
For some reason, Ben, like, claims him.
Okay.
Like,
cool.
LaGuardia High, or like whatever he says every time. He's not a singer, or I don't know. Like, he's auto-tuned to hell in and Wonka, and it's like it's clearly dubbed, and it's I don't know, the songs are
There's not a lot of life in the singing.
Yeah, you just do not buy him as like a as a musical artist, I suppose.
Yeah,
vocal performer. I think that Russell Crowe does Head and Shoulders better work than Timothée Chalamet.
Sure.
Which is completely different movies, whatever. Yeah. But like having just seen like, let's just put like a movie star in a role and have them sing and we'll do it all. We'll tune it in post.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I would much rather get a Russell Crowe version where.
But they didn't tune this in post. But I'll let you finish your sentence. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it makes it even better.
Right.
So, like, let's get the movie star who, like, gives a shit and, like, goes, like, can sing and gives a great performance.
I wonder, if it's not, like, I want to hear the auto-tuned tracks.
Of Timothée Chalamet?
Yeah. I bet they're fine.
Yeah, I bet they are fine. But it is, yeah, maybe, so maybe it's just, like, as styles have progressed over the years that, you know, it ends up just being... That's just what musicals do now. Like, isn't that the case with the Greatest Showman? Didn't people say that like those are super auto-tuned?
Oh, are they? I never saw that.
Gotcha. And that's Hugh Jackman, who can sing.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyway, something that I immediately noticed about the way that they were doing this. Oh, so, okay. So first of all, you were saying, tell me about the kind of musical this is.
Sung through.
Yeah. And so
mostly sung through.
So that means like
almost virtually all lines are sung.
Yeah. It's not like the kind of like a musical where
just talking for a bit
and then you break out into a song.
Into a song. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of all musically tied together.
I think that's a way better move. I feel like that helps me as a kind of a person who's skeptical of musicals. It's like that helps keep the suspension of disbelief or like whatever that like that veil in place.
Yeah.
Like it lets me engage with it on this like more
in world
mythic level or something.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
And the way that they did it was really interesting, where it's not the first movie musical to do this apparently, but it's the first to do it at this scale is using production audio as the singing. So that means like while they're filming, the visual action, the actors are actually singing on set, and that's what they use for the end sound. They're not dubbing in. They're not dubbing themselves, much less having somebody else dub them in.
Do you know what other movie musicals have done that?
No, I saw it was something I didn't recognize.
Oh, okay.
Cool. But it is not a common practice at all, apparently. I mean, it's like it's really hard, and the way that they had to do it is
you do a lot of takes.
I mean you do a lot of takes, but also they have like a invisible earpiece that they put in and have a piano accompany them that's following their vocal performance. They're not singing to a track.
Right.
But it allows them.
Because you couldn't, because they have artistic choices that they made.
Yeah. And I think it works really well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think the three main, I guess I consider Anne Hathaway as one of the three main, even though she's like in it for not that much at all. But
yeah.
I think Hugh does a great job. Uh-huh. Russell does a great job with that. And Anne Hathaway does a great job with that kind of feedback way of performing.
I think Eddie Redmayne tried to do that.
Yeah.
But he just sounded funny.
He sounds like freaking Kermit the Frog. I don't know. And goofy ass. And Amanda Seyfried, whatever.
Sound like a little bird.
Yeah, her whole character, not about it.
Yeah.
Anyway. And Sacha Baron Cohen, Helena Bonham Carter, definitely could do without them. Didn't think they did a good job. And I don't know. Okay, so basically my arc with this movie, it like starts and I'm like, for the first like 10, 15 minutes, makes me like sort of reset expectations. It gets on the first 20 minutes and I'm like, this might be a 5-star movie. Like, I love the way that they're staging things. Like,
yeah.
I love how like operatic it is. It's not, we're not getting this, you know, corny. It's not corny if it's all sung.
Yeah.
It's not to me.
Right.
And it looks great. The production design is great. Like the performances, like I was like, man, Hugh, mm-hmm. he's so good.
Yeah.
And then we get the first scene with Sacha Baron Cohen, Helena Bonham Carter. And I'm like, which is like, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes in maybe or something.
I feel like it might even be like an hour in.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. So the first hour, I'm like, this is incredible. I think I get musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that first.
And then the comic relief enters.
The comic relief. And I'm like, okay, this isn't for me. Don't like this very much.
Yeah.
Knock a star off. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then the like love story
yeah
shows up. This completely,
they saw each other.
Yeah, they just like randomly saw each other, like instantly fell in love, and it ground to a halt for me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this is a 2-star movie. This mm-hmm. sucks.
Yeah.
And then over the course, like once, at least it didn't last that long. So, like, then at least we got to the barricade and, like, the...
There was some action.
And, yeah, some action a and, little. Like, the... And, like, other part pieces about... It's not that, like, I thought that was too emotional or whatever, but, like, the kinds of emotions that it was... Like, that the movie was dealing with... It was... I mean, it was Anne Hathaway's part that I was, like, 5-star to.
Yeah.
In that first part.
I dreamed a dream, that number.
How can a person do that? That was crazy.
Do, like, sing
I don't know, act. Yeah. She, like, her performance was nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it had me tearing up, not because it was, like, sad or whatever, but, like, when you see just... I mean, it was sad.
Yeah. But that's not why you were tearing
up. Yeah. When you just see just excellence at such a level, I don't know, that makes me, like, teary-eyed or whatever. It's like, holy shit.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And really strong direction through that too. Just like hold on that close up. Like just like let her be, I don't know. Let her control this. Like you're not going to outshine her here. Just like let her take you on the journey here.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And then, okay. So the love story was like absolute momentum killer, sucked all of the air out of it, and I was like, this is gonna now have to dig itself out of a hole. And then we start getting stuff with like the Gavroche kid. Like I thought that was a really powerful scene, and then like it picked up at the end, I thought.
Yeah.
But then Jean Valjean,
they gotta sing a bunch of slow songs at the end.
Jean Valjean did some whack stuff. I don't know, this stuff. I, you know what? I thought they were about to redeem it at the end too. Like after like Eddie Redmayne like wakes up and he starts like getting back to health, and he like he's obsessed with cassette and
but he's sad about his friends.
Yeah. Yeah, he was obsessed with cassette. Like he just saw her on the street, and then he like starts showing up to like the revolutionary meetings, and he's like, "You guys, I am so horny for this girl." And they're like, "Bro, we have a revolution. You need to lock in." And he's like, "I'm just thinking about her." And they're like, "Lock in." He's like, "Okay, fine." And then, you know, they do the thing. But then he, you know, keeps thinking about her. And I'm like, dude, I'm saying lock in. I'm like, come on, dude. You got to focus. And then, like, Eponine is there. Is this, like, she's committed to the revolution, too.
But also mostly in love with Barius.
Yeah, but at least she's on the right side of things.
Yes.
Then, so, like, after Eddie Redmayne gets, like, shot and, like, nursed back to health and, like, wakes up and all that, and then, like, is, like, united with Cassette after he regains his health, I thought there was going to be this moment where he, like, he has this, like, 1,000-yard stare while it's happening.
While she's like, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, and, like, we will be together forever, and we love each other. I thought there's, like, holy shit, this is about to kick it into, like, this is going to redeem all of that. And it was going to be, like, I was just a boy when we were, I was a boy playing at revolution and a boy playing at love. You know, we just saw each other in the street. That's what I thought. things were going to be. That was before all my friends got slaughtered in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wake up in this bed. I'm the only one left alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you here. And you're like, the future is so bright and happy. You were never in the streets with me like Eponine was. You were never in the streets with like my brothers in arms were. I feel so guilty about still being alive, and this is, I should have died with them rather than live for someone who has showed a 0 point any sort of like commitment to anything.
Yeah.
Any sort of principles. And like Eddie Redmayne like gave that like 1,000-yard stare thing going on. And I was like, holy shit, he's about to pull it off too. But then it turned into, and I love you too. Like, no, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. And then it just turns into this sappy bullshit at the end.
Yeah. It's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. That should have been The Miserables. I don't know. You called it The Miserables. Why are y'all living happily ever after?
Yeah. It ended with a marriage and a death.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with that. Never a big fan of the Marius Cosette story.
And you could even keep the unrequited love part that you love so much with the situation.
Yeah, you could. You don't need to, but you could. I like that song.
Yeah, you like that song.
Same with Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah?
Not actually, but when I was a kid, I never liked that Christine and Raoul ended up together. I was like, stupid. She should be with the Phantom of the Opera.
The cool guy. I'll take your word for it.
Anyway.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Is this the best musical?
I don't know.
What's the best musical?
According to who?
I don't know. Is there like a consensus that's like, that's untouchable? You know?
I mean, this one is, might be like the longest running in London or something.
This is the triumph of the form kind of thing.
I think it's very highly regarded.
Yeah. I would like to see what's the best that this art form has to offer.
And here's a question. The movie musical versus stage musical. You think movie musical?
I'm not about to go to a musical.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I don't know. The stage stuff probably just works better. But yeah, the best movie musical. This was nominated for Best Picture. It was the second and of only two movie musicals to ever be nominated for Best Picture, the other one being Les Mis.
Oh, like a different...
Another production of Les Mis, yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
Earlier in the 20th century, I don't know.
But wait, but it wasn't... Was it a musical?
Yeah, because I know there's like a 90s...
Is it? It's probably this right there.
Yeah, it's probably that. Yeah.
We have it up on the TV and the customers also watch, which one of the things that I almost last minute changed what we were watching, but would have been a bad
choice
if Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is more of a filmed stage production with some movie aspects, but I watched the hell out of that movie when I was a kid.
Gotcha.
Anyways, back to Les Mis. What were we saying? That it was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah. So I don't know. If you take the Academy Awards.
Fiddler on the Roof, that's a really good one.
That's my mom's favorite. Or at least she really likes that.
That's a very good one.
I
mean, I really liked Phantom of the Opera.
Gotcha. But I figured, like, you know, if we go by Academy Awards, maybe this is one of the right ones to like try to.
Yeah.
Here's the most convincing argument for the art form. And it did, and I think it did get me. Like, the things that it did really well.
What were you afraid that it was going to be like? Or what did you, not afraid, but what did you think it was going to be like going in to watching it? What did you prepare yourself for? Wonka?
No, you know, but there's something to, like, I thought, like, you know, it's a musical in this time of like the French Revolution. It's gonna have this like whimsy, You know, like it.
Oh.
I was afraid of whimsy or whatever. Like, I was like, I don't think that musicals are equipped to tackle the to have like be able to talk about like, I don't know, the really like some like really intense stuff. It's sort of like
class.
Yeah, or yeah, class or war or mm-hmm. these things. Like you can, I mean, you can sing about how sad you are about losing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I mean, the musicals are for like, yeah, I don't know. You have a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
like that kind of makes sense. It's like, la, 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 I have chocolate. La, la. Uh-huh. That was my favorite song from Wonka, by the way. but like, you can't do, like, it's, this is going to be like, borderline like disrespectful. to like the revolutionary cause or
interesting.
Something.
Interesting. Yeah.
Goofy.
Much like
gonna be,
the
there's gonna be some fucking love story too.
Much like the musical 1776 about the American Revolution.
I don't know anything about.
Anyways, go on.
That musical or the American Revolution. You're about to subscribe to Broadway HD.
Yeah.
whatever thing is. But I think that they made it work that you actually can do all of that stuff.
Yeah. I think it's a very moving, epic musical.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like a lot of the chorus songs, especially from the beginning, like at the end of the day, that song at the end of the day, you're another day older, you're another day colder, you're another day poorer. Like when all the poor people are singing about how hard it is to be poor.
I don't even really remember that, but I bet it was good.
And then it like, that's kind of what led into the factory worker gotcha. Scene.
Okay. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I'm not going to be able to say this right, but like it felt, it nailed a good tone of, it wasn't like gritty or realistic, but it's
dirty.
It was, but yeah, there was like, yeah, there was dirt and grime and I don't know. It was like shiny and wet and I don't know. And the way they filmed, like things were stylized. Like
yeah.
The sets were stylized. Like they used the Diagon Alley set from Harry Potter for the like final like barricade setting.
Thing. Yeah.
And it worked really well with it. But like it felt, I don't know. I don't. Oh, Nora's sleeping, suckling in her sleep. What a sweetie! Oh, good girl.
All of a sudden, on this track, I'm just gonna be saying suckling.
And folks, we're isolating that clip. We're gonna put it out to the Patreon subscribers. The thing that I, the bit of trivia.
Oh.
I read the IMDb trivia, which is always. Always like super hit and miss, mm-hmm. especially for like recent-ish movies like this one, where it's like very obvious or like nonsense things. Like so one of the trivia things were like the other people that were considered to play Javert, and it was like Tom Cruise, Dustin Hoffman, Brad Pitt, like just like.
Mm.
The biggest names.
Dustin Hoffman maybe could have done it.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I'm sure at some point somebody at the studio was like, hey, you know what we should do is get probably like try
the
to
best
get
star.
Yeah, the biggest movie stars in the business to be in our movie.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, wow, do you know Tom Cruise? Like, of
yeah.
course. I don't know. Everyone wants Tom Cruise to be in their movie, dude. That doesn't count as a trivia fact. Get off IMDb. But the thing that uh-huh. I wanted to share with you
yeah.
is that apparently in the, like towards the end of the movie, there was the showdown at the barricade and Eddie Redmayne is injured and Jean Valjean saves him and drags him into the sewer.
Yeah.
They're in the, like the mud and all that stuff on the in the sewage and the
poop.
The poop and the tunnels and stuff. Apparently, they used like odorless, like an odorless safe substance for those scenes.
That's the trivia.
The trivia was that they didn't actually film it in a sewer or like use like real human sewage for those scenes.
Like, that's good to know. Yeah, I wonder if people were really concerned. They're like,
you don't say.
It's not safe to do that, guys. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be drugged through shit. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I feel like there's, like, people go through, like, interviews that cast members do. And like, they do, like, the funny, like, on their press tours. It's like, you know, like, while we were filming in the tunnels, like, me and Eddie, we were down in there. And, like, you know, we're covered in the mud and the shit. It's not actually shit. It's actually, you know, some whatever. But, like, we look disgusting. And then they take the way, like, oh, it wasn't actually shit. But, yeah, I guess we don't need to go through the plot. We've kind of covered the big beats here. But I was looking into, like, this effect of, like, just having a movie star be in a movie musical. That has to be annoying to professionals.
Musical theater people.
Professional Broadway stage actors or whatever. Like,
yeah.
People who do this.
But, yes. Yeah, well, I want to hear what you found, but I feel like some of it is marketing, but then some of it is also probably acting for a camera versus acting for the stage.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I think that, like, I think Timothy Chalamet is an egregious example of it, and it's a good example too, because I still do like him, and I still do think that he was good in the role of Wonka. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, this would be a better movie.
And better product.
Better product if they had, what's the guy's, that Jonathan Groff? Groff?
Yeah.
Or, have somebody who, like, with musical theater chops.
Yeah.
In that role or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Les Mis here and I'm like, how did it avoid this? And I'm looking into, like, Hugh Jackman's, like, background, basically. And like, I don't know if it's just that, like, you just, maybe some element is that, like, every actor, or, like, if you're a classically trained actor, you just are gonna have musical theater experience, and then you just end up in movies along the way, and then, so you never really think of them as somebody who can sing and dance, but they've got that training and they can do that, but they just get cast as Wolverine or something. And that is kind of the case. So Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's in other, like, musical things too. He actually seems to do a pretty good job in his career of, like, balancing, like, all different types of productions. It kind of seems, he's a very blessed career, it seems.
Yeah.
He described it as, like, he was unemployed for 13 seconds. Like, he graduated and immediately got a call to be on a, like, a TV show.
Oh, wow.
He's
must have good karma.
Yeah. I mean, he's got great charisma. Yeah. He seems like a really good guy, like, easy to work with too and all of that.
Yeah.
He's, like, super handsome and all that. He was offered James Bond before Daniel Craig and he turned it down because he was already Wolverine. And he was like, I don't want to be two iconic characters at once.
Be confusing.
Yeah, show people up, are gonna be confused.
Show up with a martini to the set of Wolverine.
Yeah. But he seems to do a really good job of balancing, like, he does, like, theater stuff when he wants, and then he'll go do a big movie, and then he'll go do a musical somewhere, and, like, he kind of, like, pops
that's
around.
Fun.
Yeah, he seems like he's really in it for real. He likes it.
He likes the craft.
Yeah, and he kind of seems to get any job he kind of wants to do, but that's great. So, like, okay. Good for him. I guess he's got the chops to back up, or, like, in the background to do, do theater stuff and musical theater. I couldn't find that for Anne Hathaway, though.
Yeah. I remember when this came out, people were going crazy for Anne Hathaway's performance, but then there were a lot of musical theater people who did not like her performance.
Really?
Thought she did not do a good job singing. They thought...
Really?
Yeah. I vaguely remember that.
My war against musical theater people continues then, because I was trying to extend an olive branch here to say that you guys should be getting more roles, but, like, if you're going to act like that, no, I don't know. Denied.
They're like, she was out of tune sometimes.
Man, I don't know.
Which...
Maybe.
But I think that... I think that comes back to the stage versus movie.
Yeah.
And what you needed for the movie was the emotion and the...
ability to act in that close-up.
To act, yeah. Which And what you need for the stage is the ability to sing the song really well and do big.
Yeah, do it big.
Yeah, do it big.
Yeah, which.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Movies, superior art form. Come on. Let's go. Like, what are you going to get? You're not going to get what you got from that close up on the stage.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, just by, like, I can't see her face that well if I'm in a theater.
Yeah.
That was amazing what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy that she, like, could just have that in her to do that. So that seems to be the way it was. Like, they cast a movie star. She was a movie star at the time already. This is probably...
They probably gave her singing lessons.
Yeah. And then she could just... Not like... It probably wasn't just, like, easy for her, but... Boy, did that work out.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Holy heck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet Timothy Chalamet was in a musical theater production in high school.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure he was.
So, you know, maybe I'm ragging on him too much because maybe he actually can sing, but just like the nowadays or that kind of musical, you just auto-tune to hell.
Yeah.
Anyway, that anyone's maybe. Voice is going to sound.
I guess. I don't know. Okay.
But I really appreciated the production of The Les Mis, the movie that we watched, with like the real voices. Like you can tell that they're singing and giving that the performance that you're hearing. And I think that's what, I mean, that helped the veil too, or like the suspension of it all, or like the immersion, I should say. It's the other way. Like I buy it because like that's what they're doing. They're not like lip syncing.
Yeah.
All of that. Kind of problems I have. Because like sometimes there's some part of me that when I see the lip syncing going on and other things, it's kind of like, well, you didn't need to bother doing this in the first place. Like, I don't know. Just like make a movie. I don't know. Like you're going through all this work to like.
Don't they do that though in talking movies too?
Yeah, they dub over all that stuff anyway. Yeah. They seem to do a better job with it for dialogue than, like, I don't know. Maybe Wonka was just like a bad movie. Something.
Yeah.
Okay, but the director. So okay. So apparently this was the other funny another funny like real tidbit of the IMDb trivia that I read that the you know who else was considered for the role of Cassette?
The older one?
Yes. Yeah, animated Siegfried's role.
No.
Do you want to guess? Guess who?
Fanning? Elle Fanning?
No, but a blonde person.
Sydney Sweeney. Just kidding.
No.
I don't know who.
Taylor Swift. Was considered for the role of Cassette.
And then she went and did Cats.
Directed by the same director.
Oh.
Yep.
I never saw Cats.
Me either, but it is.
I'm too afraid.
Apparently really bad.
Really bad.
Like
yeah.
One of the worst movies and musicals.
Yeah.
Somehow multiplying each other's shittiness.
Yeah.
And which is so funny to be able to make this and then Cats happens too.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Some point to it. I think Cats came out like right before the pandemic hit. People maybe attribute that being the cause of the pandemic. I just thought that was a very funny.
Yeah.
Like same director. You can do that.
Interesting. Guy likes musicals, I guess.
Suppose so. It's like Thomas Hooper or something. Tom Hooper.
Mr. Hooper's grocery store.
Any other things we wanted to say about that? I was supposed to remind you of, about love stories.
Oh, I think I said it.
Okay.
About like the Phantom of the Opera thing, how like the main love story isn't always the one that people actually are into. I'm really nervous about Wicked, the musical. They're making the movie musical.
Because do you like the musical?
I really liked the musical growing up. I mean, it was really big when we were in like middle school, high school. Yeah, I'm afraid it's gonna get the auto-tune treatment. And
it, certainly, right? Like, definitely. It's Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not to like, I don't, she might have chops. She probably has chopsticks. She probably can sing, but like, it's, I don't know, as a pop star. Like, that's what you...
The original Broadway show, Wicked, had Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. And you just can't really top that.
Gotcha.
But they're way too old now. Not way too old.
I bet they could do it.
Yeah.
I bet it'd be a lot easier. I bet it'd be way easier to do the movie version after you do the stage production.
Yeah.
Apparently Eponine played Eponine in the 25th anniversary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's... She's just kind of like an unnamed, or like a... She's not like a movie star.
Yeah.
Role. Kind of a big one.
Yeah.
But, huh. How does like Wicked become like a big hit in middle school? How do you find out about that stuff? And like,
you listen to the soundtrack.
So it's like an album drops.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, there's a movie that goes with it that I'm going to like maybe see someday.
I mean, I saw the stage production in Chicago as well a few times.
Okay.
And you read the, if
you're into that stuff.
It's kind of easier if it's a sung through, because then the soundtrack has the whole plot story.
Yeah.
But if it's just the songs, and sometimes you have to look up the plot or like read the script or something.
Is the soundtrack to Les Mis like 2.5 hours?
It's 2 discs, 2 CDs.
Wow. That's straight up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But then you can also get soundtracks that are just like the highlights. And so they'd only have some of the songs. They wouldn't have all of them.
Though that seems like such a cash grab.
What? Having a highlights album? Yeah. Like, what if you don't want to listen to all of the songs? I think it's useful. I think people would want it.
Okay.
I mean, I would want to listen to all the songs, but...
I guess those like best of albums made more sense when you would just like buy a... You would get like a disc.
Yeah.
You know, rather than... You could just like... I would just go... I will simply...
Make up my own playlist if I only want certain ones in there.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm super... Now I want to know what the best musical is.
I mean, I really like Hades. But you mean movie.
Or I guess, but what is it? What's the best stage music? What's the best musical period? It's Hadestown?
Oh, it depends on who you ask. What do you mean the best?
Well, I don't know. I feel like you get like a Sight and Sound top 100 movies kind of thing. And like musicals have to have gotten on longer than movies.
They just get better. No, I don't know if that's true.
But can it be some sort of critical that's like, everyone can agree, like Citizen Kane, you like gotta see that, or something like that.
30 best musicals of all times.
According to who?
I don't know. I'm just trying to look.
Gotcha.
There's the Tony Awards.
Sure. What's the most Tony? Wait, that doesn't count. That wouldn't make sense.
You gotta see like The Sound of Music. That's a classic one.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. That sounds like something that that people would say is like an unassailable classic.
r/Broadway. What is the best musical of all time? At the risk of sounding cliche, I think Hamilton and Les Miserables are the two most ingenious, creative, and technically wonderful musicals of all time. What musicals do you think are the best of all time and why? This was 2 years ago, so maybe, I don't know.
But Lynn's back. Lynn and Hillary.
Shrek the Musical.
Best musical of all time is Shrek?
According to these people. I think they may be joking, though.
Oh.
Into the Woods, Fiddler on the Roof.
I guess I'm kind of hoping there's like, for some reason, like, oh, here's one that Will hasn't heard of. And it will change his mind about it all or something.
Yeah, I don't know if you will.
We should go
see Hadestown in New York.
Yeah.
Ben and Shelley, do you want to see Hadestown with us?
Waiting for an answer. Yeah, I don't know, but I liked a lot about what we watched.
Hooray! I'm glad.
So, for this, I love it. You love it.
Special edition.
Yeah, special edition of the podcast. We should have some sort of like rating that's like, I loved it. Did you love it? Or something like that. But you didn't even love it. You didn't even play the game right. But you loved Les Mis, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to show it to you.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted you to see it.
And then do I reject you or do I hold you? No, I'll hold you on this. This was good.
I'm glad. Yeah, it was good. And I mean, I hadn't seen it in a long time either, and I think it it exceeded my memory.
Really?
Yep.
Gotcha. But I was...
What do you think about all the Dutch angles?
I thought it was fun. I thought that was great. I think that they worked great. Yeah.
I thought there was maybe too many of them.
It was all right with me.
Well, that's cool. You're the movie... You're the filmmaker, so I shall defer.
I don't think I've ever used a Dutch angle myself. I'm always locking shit off.
Yeah.
Leveling at the horizon. I need to get... You need to be, get a little...
Funky.
Get nutty with it.
Yeah.
Although, yeah. It definitely partially redeemed itself at the end. It was a big roller coaster. But like, yeah, going to bed last night, like halfway through, I was like, fuck, I'm not looking forward to the rest of this shit.
Yeah.
Should we do a quick dog update? Talk about the dogs?
Yeah. Nora is in a funny position. She's laying on the couch with her belly towards the back of the couch and her head up against the arm of the couch.
Pointing outward.
Oh, and now she's moving. Paws with her up. Arms up in... Yeah, her paws up in the air.
Good girl.
Head tilted back. Okay. Marty is in his crate and he's laying down with his head up against the edge. The crate is open. He just decided to go in there. Now he's looking over at us.
My buddy. Yeah, he's had a tough morning so far.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of rough visits to the yard where there's a dog 2 yards away. And yeah, I don't know. We're on the new training program. I don't know what... I guess I could have taken him out by himself.
Yeah, that might have been easier.
Maybe. I mean, probably.
I think it would have.
But he could
more easily redirect.
Yeah.
Because Nora was amped up, too.
She was amped up. But he'd redirected onto his leash while we were out there. He, and I feel bad about that. He started like...
Was he biting it?
Yeah, he was biting the leash, and he was like compulsively chomping the air.
Oh.
Like he was overloaded.
Oh.
Yeah, it was... I felt really bad. I was kind of like, let's quick get inside then. Like, we're not going to be able to work through this.
Yeah.
We fried the pathway or whatever it is. There's no...
We'll try again later.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. Rest up. Good boy.
This fuzzy thing on this microphone, I think just looking at it makes me want to sneeze. I'm just like, that's tickly.
Yeah. Well, we have some chores to do today.
We got to wash some vases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To clean a bathroom, maybe.
Maybe. Well, thank you for pinch hitting on the podcast. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll have to do another one of these sometime when I can choose to watch Michael Clayton with you for the fourth time or something.
I like Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
But you need to pick a different one.
I need to pick a different one.
Like a Western. I'm not that interested in watching a Western, but I would for this.
Yeah. Well, we talked about like Spring Breakers a little bit last night. Something that's like...
It's hard to watch.
Well, for, yeah, something that I know I like way more than you.
Yeah.
Is maybe more the interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Attention. What can I torture you with? Can I torment you so? No. All right. Thanks for being on the podcast, Zoe. It's good to have you here. First appearance as wife of the show.
Hooray.
How does it feel?
Good. Happy.
Good. Right answer. All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.